Okay, so I'm going to introduce our third place, Glyn Matthews, who is on Zoom from England. So he's an ex-art English drama teacher who became an artist. He has a long-held love of writing, which enhanced his images with poetry. So the two art forms melded together. Now, no longer needing the sale of artwork to support him, and with COVID interrupting his preferred route, he started concentrating more on his writing. He finds it stimulating, and the Ovale competition absolutely appealed. His successful poem enabled him to explore repressed emotion based on a true experience. He has self-published two books of poetry. A picture on the wall dwells always in the corner of your eye. And a book will close to dwell quietly in the corner of your mind. So, can we have our third place, Glyn Matthews, please? A round of applause, please.
Thank you very much. So, my poem is entitled Terms of Endearment. As I say, it's inspired by a real event. From my bed, I heard my father enter in a drunken rage, beat midnight to a pulp as the jukebox played from down below and thumped its bass notes, beating time while the motor gutsy revved outside. Next day, I hesitated in the lounge and wondered at the latest stains upon the wall, but slowly changed from red to brown. It was about that time my budgie died. I can't remember if I cried. Staring at his stiff blue body at the bottom of the cage, I laid him in a cardboard box with tissue paper and the millet spray and took him to my grandma's on the other side of town. We dug a grave between the hawthorn and the daffodils, spoke some words, and wrote Joey on a lolly stick. Then my father went away. The heat died down. The world turned more slowly. My mother stopped walking into doors. I don't know why I wet the bed. My mother changed the sheets in the middle of the night and wordless sat and stroked my head. I can't recall my father's face, although I still see Joey with his sparkling eye. And in the wee small hours, sometimes I hear the tinkling of a little bell, but what he's trying to say, I cannot tell.
You have 5 minutes if you want to get another poem for us, Glyn.
Yeah, I can give you another one.
All right, brilliant. Thank you.
I give you Earth Abides. When my turn comes, take me to the west, to the knoll, Barchlariad Gowras, where we used to stroll around the stones fashioned by ancients and burnished by time, embraced by the tumbling waves of a Celtic sea, sliding silver into a sunlit bay, chided by gulls rising on updrafts, white flecks against the setting sky. For now, summer tourists lunder across the mound, taking selfies against the light, squinting and listening to the sound of thunder from the rocks below. Afraid to fall, they lean into the white-lipped wind, hair whipped across half-baked grinning faces, rigor mortis faked and fixed by pixels, then transported in an instant to fair-weather friends. Meanwhile, with Neolithic grace, I'll nurse my bones and slow my pace, feeling with blind eyes for ley lines that once played across the face of this prehistoric land, tracing ghosts that stride between the stones, waiting for silence beneath the tumbling sky and the yearning of the gulls, soaring high above lonely promenades and abandoned summer homes. After all, Earth survives. Thank you.
Beautiful reading, Glyn. Thanks so much. So next up, we're going to have second place winner, Alison McCrossan, who's here with us tonight. Yeah. So Alison McCrossan is from Cork. She took a master's in creative writing in UCC in 2019, with an interest in fiction and a growing interest in poetry. Her publications include The Honest Ulsterman, Southward, Cranogue, Abridged, Orbis, and Stand magazine, forthcoming. Her novel In Progress, The Archaeologist, has been long listed for the Penguin Michael Joseph Undiscovered Writers Prize 2023. That's a prize.
Thanks. This is the poem that came second. It's called Walking Alone. I was down by the clear water watching minnows dart over stones, taking comfort away from teenage taunts. Hills scaled by gorse rose on the other side of the valley. A fella I'd seen around a few years older than me arrived over my shoulder, bare-chested and tipsy. He started asking me questions. I don't remember the content, just staring at the slopes. I remember him leaning in for a kiss, the stickiness of his skin, the roughness of hair as I pushed at his chest. I remember telling a friend later, remember her saying, "You kissed him, didn't you?" Like there was nothing else I would do. I remember sitting on a rock after he'd gone, how I lifted a plastic bag from a bush and trapped two minnows, how I left them to dry under the sun, how three crows descended close by, how a lone starling flitted in and pinched a minnow in its beak, how the other starlings wouldn't be far behind. And the next poem is from Southward, Dendrochronology. Spiraling beeches lobbed to earth were perfectly aged, so full in summer they laced a lucid green sky. Ochre golden shifts patterned the woodland floor. The mulch of dark spells set in until spring. There a child astray with shadows of phobia and her desire was losing trust and staggered outside, out of words into places caterpillars go, dandelion fields, spheres of air and seed. Grass so tall she swam with the wind into the woods to the biggest beach, flung her arms wide, pressed her body against its trunk, looked up into fingers stretching for the light. The thread-like veins of green heart, oxygen, promise, flow of rain, sky to ground, root, bole, branch, leaf, sky, river, sea, waves crashed at the shore, incessant, raucous, creator of life, eroded her pain inch by inch in painting. Line, colour, stroke, daub, word, smile, and never did nature ask of her. Now she sits in her car, window down, listens to all that's gone, echoes down faraway slopes, transported to those stumps where exposed rings map years of struggle and growth. Thanks.
It's Malin Allison. Congrats again. So we'll now hear from our winner. He's on Zoom. Is he?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just introduce you there now first. So our winner, David Ross Linklater, who's here with us on Zoom from Scotland, is a poet from Baltimore, Easter Ross in the Highlands. He's the author of four pamphlets, most recently Star Muck Burrock from Wish Fulfillment Press. And he is the recipient of a Dewar Arts Award and has been shortlisted for the New Writers Award and Edwin Morgan Award. His new work has appeared in Dark Horse, Bath Mag, New Writing Scotland, and Gutter. He lives in Glasgow, where he works as a screen printer. Big round of applause for David Ross Tingley.
Thank you very much. I just realised how incredibly dark it is. It's not really that dark here, but oh, sorry, my partner's bringing over a big light. I apologise, I couldn't be there in person. I had a wedding this weekend. Not my wedding, but I had a wedding. And I'm in my 30s now, so my friends get married like every 4 hours, so I've got quite a lot of them to go to. But I'm going to read four poems. I'll read the one that won the award at the end, but I'll read a few before that. So this one's called Acquiring Delicate Freedoms. On the hill, I saw the fire working. Ran from my home to hook the sight in full spectral bloom. Heat from shaking winds, blistered sands. The hill and her suicides of heather. Stood open-mouthed as night gnawed its million orange teeth. Saw that the whole of parts can erupt, that God might not have alighted anywhere, or that it all might destroy itself just to be sincere, and us only here to witness that, make it bend a bit. Many came to watch. Some became particularly studied in the flames, in the big thing that had come to feast. Not an ordinary Tuesday at all. A child, I was rewired to the new suffering morning. Glass of the sea, blessed and fragile. I took pleasure in the water I had not taken before, and in the night, which was a new fine linen. Woke the next day for the first time, belonging not to hills or fires, even to gods, but to my own bones, pale and darling. My disintegrating concepts, wearing the clothes of strange new freedoms. Thank you. This next one I'm going to read is called Field Language, and it was a poem in the pamphlet Starmark Burak with Wish Fulfillment Press. It is not nothing, day bleeding its blues as the gulls shake, as the machine leans a heavy shoulder into the dirt and the workers pray for worms, unfurling the wire, steadying the fence posts, their grandfather's hands, their great-grandfather's hands bringing the mallet down. Down the dirt road, the old house wilts in the ears. Its big mouth opened on the floor, black-throated with soil and wet wood. There, the wind bends cords of banisters and rotted boards, making a strange low-down tune. The old man who walked its garden until he did not, his mouth was full of combines and horses. He was not nothing in his nothingness, in his wheat sceneries, when the land was thirsty for more than water. When the ice cubes rolled in tumblers and mirage bent the hills. He told the boy, these acres belong to the heart. They will lean that way forever. And as the mallet comes down on the final post, tying the field anew to its boundaries, the boy finally hears him. So this one is also from that pamphlet, and it's called The Feeding. The shoreline is not the shape it once was. A century of salt has buckled the pier, that skinny wrist tied with a bangle of boats. The villagers say it's only right the water brings change. Time itself needs fed. Anyway, it doesn't seem long since the Ella Brewster floundered, going down by the bow, the mussels pouring. What's 100 years to a beach? When the famous storm was on, the one in the red frame above the fire that shot water 80 feet over the harbour as if it was nothing, and jettisoned its weeds and rock. They watched as wind feasted on the land, forever altering the way the universe was proclaimed. The sermon of the dunes rubbed down to refrains. Each wave reared up with its own story, crashing upon dark sands with the weight of gods you may not observe but in the soul of a place. Walls went extinct. Fields were now what the sea required of them, and it was the old lady on the hillside with her toes in a new landscape. It was the dead beast brought ashore in a tangle of rope pale as old veins. That was long ago. Everything in exchange. The blue ache of the sea is tomorrow's harvest, massing itself in unfathomable ratios. Each model of existence balanced. Gulls shivering over rock pools. Dolphins gutting wave folds. Whelks vacuumed into the big sadness of all. Somewhere between two storms we fuse, caught in the moment before the water cracks. That being the inspiration for life, the lust for it. The waves will never not throw themselves high. Grey water heaping its sins as the ancients rise in these most gorgeous rolling bulks, and the unchanging permanence of the sea passes 100 years in one tide. Thank you. Okay, so I'll read the last poem. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure to be part of the award, and it's been amazing hearing everyone's work. And maybe I'll go over to Cork at some point. Mary, my partner's saying yes, well, yes. So this was the poem that got the award. It's called Lighthouse Mother. A masterpiece. She does not need an audience when sketching the crimes of waves, their rolling weeds and white knuckles. Captains cannot compete with the clarity of her vision. She works the hours of a saint somewhere between glory and torment. Others simply do not fit there. She has shouldered the many storms of novel nights, buoys raised on purple 100-foot waves, Nakalavi roaming the crests, stripping whole crews out like feathers. Having cut through mist, the descriptions of silence, she has learned to chart suffering by the ton, offer direction across the salt fields. Having watched sky imitate sea, perfect poetry slopping in rock pools, reciting itself, rain and hornery, sun and limpet, she is the attempted answer to our unknowing, a pureness hauled out over the blue. Though she cannot promise life, she has come to know a kind of peace, aiming for that as stars wash their own bodies, as gods come and go with the shoaling. What innate skill to dance upon the isthmus, to fall so completely into darkness, then blast it away. The finest returning of light, the soft tuning of hope where there is none. Thank you very much.
Congratulations again, David Ross.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Definitely a worthy winner. Fantastic poem. We're now going to hear from our shortlisted poets. I think all of them are on Zoom apart from our Rolf here. We'll start off with Laura Thies. Is Laura here? Thies?
Yes.
There we are. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Did
you ask her how she pronounces that?
Is it Thies or Thies?
It's actually Tice. Sorry.
No, thanks for teaching me. So we'd like, I'll let you read your poem.
It's called Gifted. We don't know how many witches exactly we asked to her christening, and how many others appeared uninvited and offended at the slight. Witches are hard to count, and their gifts may be hard to account for. We are still trying to puzzle out which ones were meant as curses and which ones will turn out to be favors. We've kept them all to be safe. Put some in storage in a shoebox under her bed, next to her collection of interesting pebbles. Sometimes she lays them all out, takes one and holds it in her palm like a small sun to examine it closely. Here's my wildness, she might say, my inconsistency, my flair for maniacal dance moves, my brittle temper. And look, here are all the echoes of you that sorrow inside me and demand to be turned into song.
Thank you so much, Laura, coming to us from Zoom. So we also have Phoebe Colby, who's from Canada, coming to us from Zoom. Is Phoebe with us? I don't see Phoebe there. Maybe we'll come to the room, to our Rolf Parker Houghton, who's traveled here from Vermont.
Wow. So this is the University of Brattleboro and the Uncluttered Table. And my wife gave me permission to read this. You aren't going to believe me unless you look this up. But I, Dr. Balderdash, created a fake university and a fake paranormal paleontology department. And with my very real wife, Cynthia, who created a miniature Yeti. So of course we call it Tiny Foot. Out of a G.I. Joe doll she covered in fur and added a new face to sculpted from clay, and we took his photo running in a touch-me-not forest, and we laughed and made a baby and loaned Tinyfoot to our local librarian, Francisco Alejandro, who filmed him swinging in a tree. And if you move to Vermont, check out Tinyfoot from the local library and make your own fake photo. And we bought a house and cast plaster chicken Rex bones in dinosaur bone-shaped holes, and we dug in our backyard with David and Jude and buried the bones downtown and flew fake UFOs off of a parking garage, black helium balloons, fishing poles, lead LED lights plus people willing to believe equals UFOs. And we got a pig skull from a pig roast at my friend's birthday party. Popped some goggles on him, a pig skull, goggles plus people who need to laugh equals UFO alien, and buried him under a tombstone on which we chiseled in the words, in memory of the mysterious Brattleboro Airman. And we buried his stone, and we dug up his stone, and his skull, and his ribs, and the chicken Rex in front of people who bid in an auction for the remains, and our son, who loves life and math, collected their money, and they cheered because we were faking a UFO alien crash site just for them. And I invited them to march around the tombstone of Levi Fuller, the long dead governor of our state that is living with fentanyl and floods dropped on us from the warm ocean, who was also a scientist who tried to establish the note A at 435 vibrations per minute. And the people marched, blowing notes on bottles and clacking wooden clackers, tuned the way he liked it. And Susan Keyes from Vermont Public Radio came and left with a story. And Chris Mays from The Reformer came and interviewed Dr. Real Foe and left with a story. And we made love on the table and much, much later, invited people in town to our house to carve floating jack-o'-lanterns. And we took them to gently dip their creations in the mighty Quinticube and the burning pumpkins float downstream to the cheers of people, we have video, who have sent them to the sea every Halloween with us for the last 20 years, and set out a little model of Cynthia's Holstein Brontosaurus hybrid at Malfunction Junction in front of the Holstein Association building, and took the gentle beast photo from the right angle so that it seemed to be a giant in the street, blocking traffic. And next to the museum where my wife's intricate silver wire fish were displayed, back when I was just her math teacher boyfriend who didn't do his share of the dishes, and embarrassingly admitted to this Carhartt-wearing carpenter, this wilderness canoe hike leader, this bronze caster, this sculptor, this arty Artemis, that I sometimes liked women dressed in poof sleeve dresses from the 1800s, and even liked them dresses with the bustles on them as works of art, because I thought it made women look ripe as mangoes. And she laughed and said, never, before marrying me forever, despite our mismatch in many other things. Would you believe that the joy I have sought to bring this town is due in part to my tumbles into a hidden pit and my desire to pull others out? Would you believe after we were married, we were both sometimes harmed by the steady certainty of disappointment in each other and years of fermenting frustration. It happens. And what if I told you our arguments, our differences were worse than fights? Not me, never hands, only words of blind despair, but so hopeless at times. It felt like the only way we stayed together was by taking divorce off the table. And that can work sometimes. And it worked like magic for us. Thank you.
And this poem is like, it's actually opens like long ways whenever you see it. It's amazing. So next we're going to move on to Zoom again. We have Dante Miller, who's tuning in from the USA.
This is it isn't inevitable, just likely. Back up the philosophies, honey. Bolt the art. Cue the pandemonium, darling. Atlantis is sinking. The four winds have all been shuttered. Stars all popped and fizzled into black. Out waltz gods and monsters far beyond the deadly arc of mortal dread. In rush the waters to kiss the temple fires cold, to smother the fields, to seep under your door, under your eyelids, into your lungs. The home you knew will be drowned silent, a tomb where only the orca might sing. So take a pinch of salt for luck, my dear. Wrap your fragile love in something soft and run.
Thank you, Dante. Next up, we have Gabrielle Deacon coming into Zoom from Spain. Yeah.
My poem is called In Praise of Liminality. The sweet spot is just beforehand, that in-between space, when the lift of the tide heralds the orgasm, which never matches its anticipated promise. The cycle of desire requires constant renewal. It's the five-year-old who turns six tomorrow, who imagines that six is different and miraculous. So let us savor the hours before the wedding. The suit is on the hanger. The corks are in the bottles. Listen. This is the language of perfection. When we hear, as God does. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Gabrielle. Next up, we have Mandy Beatty or Beatty from Scotland.
Beatty.
Beatty was right the first time.
Hi, everyone. Better put the glasses on. There's an epigraph by William Shakespeare first. Give sorrow words, the grief that does not speak, nets up the o'erwrought heart and bids it break. And this poem is called Then There Was Only One Fetal Heartbeat, and it's about my late twin. On the ashes of thalidomide, a red flag flies the mizzen half-mast, but Christina only plays dress-up in our body's archive. At the close of her trimester, I cannot help but imagine, in womb's grave leavening, a double helix of shadow dimple creases and mirror images of gilt's bevel edges on her rainbow bridge. Each twin placental air and aria, a solo obbligato, yet sweet peas, larkspur, delphiniums, still bud, blossom. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mandy. Can I check again now if Phoebe Colby has joined us since?
Or
she hasn't. Okay. And we had David W. Evans who couldn't make it either. So round of applause for those two who couldn't be here. Okay, so now we can open up a bit more. So if you have a poem that's in the anthology here, or if you want to read someone else's poem from it, that's fine too. Just going to open it up for people to come up. Yeah. So we've got Cedric up first. Did you have a question?
Yes.
Oh, you have a question. Okay.
Does it have to be from last year? Or can it be
I think from this volume. Yeah, it's got to be from this volume.
You're in there, Cedric.
Thought you'd read somebody else.
You can do a few. That's for the open mic. That's... Look, I might get it started. Look, I have a poem of my own in there, which I'm very happy with. It's about that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Have you seen it?
No.
You've got to see it, yeah. It's won, I think it won 7 Oscars. Is it? I think that's the most a film has ever won in anything. So the words that night for me were Slayer, Revolution, Plantain, Shampoo, and Fizz. Everything, everywhere, all at once. The universe conspires to make me feel single when I see a love heart-shaped pizza in Lidl's. A revolution is happening in my heart. Maybe it's angina. No more to our Hollywood love. I meet you in all of our lives. 2 triads, a secret affair. I laugh and slap your black leather jacket, setting off your gun. The bullet pierces through the portal, penetrates our medieval hut, dings off the metal tin, ricochets into our Rastafari days, straight through your plantain. Intercepts our gothic graveyard makeout session, breaks the radio playing Slayer, our black lipstick smears. Our worlds turn into a blur that looks like everything on a bagel. Our lives. I like that. Our lives fizz through the center, volcanic eruption, all of our futures. All of our pasts, endings, beginnings. The bullet cracks the glass of the love heart-shaped pizza. I'm unfazed. I've seen stranger things in Littles. I move along, filling my cart with groceries, forgetting that in this universe, I don't need shampoo. So that's going to get everyone rolling. Anyone else want to?
We've got a
few people from Zoom. They're eager, and you got to match their energy. Moira Stevens, first on the list. Let's go, Moira.
Right. Okay. All right. So this one's called White Feathers. The words were angel, offshore, harbour, laugh, and seagulls. White feathers torn from angel wings, God's laugh turned to mundane things. We seagulls soar across the sky, screeching call and piercing cry. Polluted harbour where rubbish floats, white feathers soar or offshore boats. You call us vermin of the air, raise your fists, but we don't care. Sandwich clenched in chubby hand, cornet fallen on the sand. We follow ships across the bay, dive for the fish they throw away. What you discard or seek to keep, we'll take whate'er we want to eat. White feathers ours, the angels heard. White feathers ours, we devil birds.
Any more Zoomers? No? Anyone in the room? Okay, we've got Mags Creedon.
It's a Cedric to read you also. I think this one, I can't say the words in it. It was breathe, airplane, and E-O-L-X, and formaldehyde and heaven. We always try to play around with words, so it reminded me of all these different pickled people. So, pickled. There are so many confitures, so many sweet preserves. Pickled in post-festive excess, encased fruit cake in this slack flack jacket, plum jammed with pudding, fodder for the lipo king. Two. Get used to the smells of formaldehyde, pickled shapes, marinate in time, where once they breathed boundless, endless heaven, living forever. Alas, callow youth, paper airplane climb, project their shapes in time, capsule names in the name of anatomy, recast future present for unskilled hands to practice, pickled people. Bionics, iced vanity, frozen in vain hope, dream of their last lost face, awake to future decades, irreverent and alien. Bollocks, bollocks the door, applies one layer more to fading beauty. Getting old sucks, Cher said, character lines desiccate, delineate. Madame Beau recites, I am a unique confiture. I am a very rare preserve. Aged to special vintage. Lifelines, love lines, the riches that I richly deserve. That's it.
Thanks, Mags. And I actually want to give a shout out to Mags. She actually, you'll find these drawings in the book. They are all done by the one and only Mags. Got Ryan.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, sorry. So the words were pajamas, warning, lights, dust, and cat. And some Loki in the room shouted out, refulgent. So as an extra challenge. So there we go. This is called Torrid Roulette. Into the stream of shattered rock and ubiquitous dust, our planet careers with joyous disregard. Lights flare, swarms of cat eyes flash warning. Bright, hot, hazard, beware! Don't cross the path of more bulky beasts lurking in the night. lest we find ourselves under the smiting paw of those threatening brutes. We stand and watch, wishing, agog, a civilization in pajamas under the Catherine Wheel display of flickering popcorn bursting into sensuous spectacle, delighting in the refulgent dance of dust and rock, forgetting the inexorable pull of gravity and extinction.
What does a refulgent mean?
I can't remember. I think it's been bright. Bright, possibly. I'm
going
to have to give this back now.
No.
Is it like Scrabble?
Disqualified. Campbell? Yeah. We got Pam Campbell on Zoom.
Okay. Mine are small, so I'm going to do maybe two or maybe three back time. This was the words were sandwich, delightful, building, change, and carpenter. Uvalde, Texas. 19 children, fourth grade veterans, learned to build a delightful story sandwich. Bread on the plate, butter on the bread, lettuce on the butter, tomato on the lettuce, meat on the tomato, bread on the meat. But on May 24th, 2022, the story changed. Two teachers first heard a chilling daytime goodnight from a new carpenter of the plot who bulleted them and the children from butter on the bread. And then, the words scrumptious, ghost, catkin, alchemy, and desire. Tansy, green-eyed catkin mine, or catkin as the Dutch say, transforms desire, pooling its ghostly alchemy, and leaps high in the air, paws stretched wide in glorious, scrumptious flight. And then my last one is the words were drones, sleigh, viscous, bread, and growth. Didgeridoo drones, trees creak, wings flap, viscous growth, bread snowfall. Sleigh runners cut a new dream time. Thank you.
Thanks a million, Pam. And we got anyone in the room? We got Sue Blue. Woo!
Glasses on, glasses off. Thanks very much. So I call this Night of Feeling Foreign. With swollen tongue, I speak through clotted teeth, like Botox in my eardrums takes out all vibes to hear. Though feet stomp rhythms into damp grass and drums beat the dance, melodies of flute and sax caress, take flight and coil, weaving through the spine, I feel the music flow, body resounding in tune. The mind cannot decipher tongue-twisting meanings behind words with no key to their store of lingo history, can only see 2D. The image portrayed in their sound cannot bridge the gap for missing roots still. Genetic echo reverberates through poetic body. Despite taking hold, I remain foreign.
Okay, we have Sapongo coming in from Zoom.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Easter, if you celebrate. If you don't, happy holidays. I hope your weekend was great. So I'll read two poems. So the first one is titled Preacher. The words were angel, offshore, harbor, laugh, seagulls. His laugh sent the seagulls flapping towards the harbor island as the yacht bobbed above the salty waters of the Bahamas. He'd done it. All his dreams were accomplished. Gullible people they are. He smiled, knowing his offshore account was staked for generations. My blood will celebrate me till infinity. Gullible people they are, as he imagined his congregants waiting for the angel of fortune. The second poem is called The Government Holiday. The words were teeth, detention, decompression, instrument, perpendicular. Mr. Truth will be placed on remand until the government is back from holiday. 10 years he spent in detention, his teeth forced to remind him of that slimy, sticky porridge they called food, knowing well its control dressed as goodwill and inclusive governance, an instrument shoving more fat down the pig's mouth. Orwell taught well. His words like water, easy to ingest, easier to decompress. Now, Google, please remind me what perpendicular means. Ah, thanks, dude. Okay, for that last line. Writing political poetry is easy. Just make sure your rhymes are perpendicular and your stanzas are left-leaning or right-leaning.
Yes, a feeling or right leaning. You got any other readers?
Rosemary.
Got Rosemary on Zoom? Yeah, we'll go with Rosemary on Zoom. Okay. Okay, there's a bit of noise in the room. I think you might be on mute, Rosemary.
Hello, I've managed to unmute myself.
No worries.
I've managed to unmute myself. This is the poem from this time last year. The words were nocturnal, beans, echo, intrusive, and liminal. And the poem is called Beans. If you could go on through, it would be better or not so bad. But no, you're held up between here as you used to know it and nowhere where you don't need to, it won't matter. The liminal oppresses you with intrusive, or you think they are, thoughts of death, if you could tell what that is. Not calls even, echoes of what's done already, and you have to come back to life, which is nocturnal visits to the toilet and sleeping in the daytime, when we'll ask again if you're okay, and you'll say yes. Yes, I am, only I'm not full of beans.
Thanks, Rosemary. Got any people in the room? Wanna do a reading?
Can we read?
Is it in the book?
No, it's not, because I forgot.
Oh, you forgot to submit it. No. If it's not in print, we can't do it. We got Catherine Ronan.
It's a month early, but we'll have Celtic summer anyway. Is Bealtaine, and I pay my angel with the first lift of dew from fairy hosts. The light god Lu treats the buds to soft kisses, moist with promise. Leaves rebirth and children leave, and I cowlick every curl home as the mirror forgets my name. In the month of May, I still climb the hill of Ishnok to light the biggest fire ever and wash my face in new summer.
Thanks so much, Catherine. And again, actually, you don't have to read your own one if you don't want to. If you want to read someone else's, have at it. If you don't have one in there or don't want to read your own one.
I could read Colum Scully's one.
Ben Burns, okay.
I'm going to read Colum Scully's piece in the five words, and it was, the words were breathe, airplane, bollocks, formaldehyde, and heaven. January in boarding school, 1982. The formaldehyde is froze in the glass jars on the top shelf of the old school lab. Our breath crackled on exhalation. The tips of our toes clinked against each other. We fired paper airplanes lathered with icicled spit. Outside, two priests in soutanes shoveled frosted coal into the school boiler. Science class started late. Father Talbot arrived with rosy cheeks and mittened hands. My cold fingers left a beaker full to the parquet floor. I shouted out, "Bollocks!" The hurley was retrieved, and I received five slugs across the arse, then five swipes of the leather to the palms of my hands. I sat back in my seat contented, glowing in the warmth imparted by the heaven-sent punishment.
Is the poem you're going to read, Constantine, in the anthology? Open mic, we'll talk about the open mic in a bit. Yeah, not at that yet. Yeah, we got Cedric. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to read mine, but I'm afraid I'm going to step on somebody's toes, so I'll go with mine then. The words were breed, airplane, bollocks, formaldehyde, and heaven, like heaven. Aloft. This is a special day, you know, the kind to leave an impression the moment you open your eyes. You barely slept in excitement, so you already float. The family is in a frenzy, so no one pays attention to the bags under your lids, and you float. The car is open, the luggages are loaded, the chain formed by working ants that we are, busy under the clear sky of winter. In effort, you breathe out and your mind wanders off. Like that cloud, it floats. Mom is a bit stressed. Dad says she's in no bollocks mode. But we won't repeat it to her. He also said her nagging would be a real pain on the trip to the station. I doze off and on, cradled by the radio and its old tunes. It's a melody that floats. It feels like heaven, but nothing like traveling in an airplane. My sister will tuck me in. The craft engine will sing a mechanical lullaby. There is a lady sitting on the seat in front of mine, wearing this white fur coat that fits her so well. She looks like an angel that reeks of death, a formaldehyde smelling of formaldehyde. When I woke up, she was gone. The descent, it still floats.
I'm obsessed with no bollocks mode. Just wanted to read someone else's poem. Oh, we've got Sigalyn, okay, or Roxanne.
I'm going to represent Shona Lilij. So it was a Slayer Revolution plantain shampoo and fizz. entitled "The Most Monumental Thing That Has Ever Happened to Me Is Finding Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I was 10 years old, angry and bold, in revolt of the gender I was assigned. When I saw this girl, feminine, yet kicking and fighting, absolutely dominating, it was a revelation in my kind. Girls could be more than kind, delicate, and floral, as shampoo bottles would have you believed. The fizz of feminism rose within me like pink rosé. To this day, watching Buffy is my favorite thing to do. It's my comfort blanket. Some people love to skate, some love to eat fried plantains, but I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer."
Merci beaucoup, Céline. Anyone else wanted to? No. Anyone on Zoom?
No. Seems done. Oh, it's Matt Rooney.
Matt Rooney's jumping in. Okay. I think you're on mute there, Matt. If you want to, still on mute.
Yep. Right.
You're good to go now. Yeah.
This poem is called "Summer Fashion Show," and the words were "angel leaves lift cowlick and moist." Has an angel been about to lift our eyes to the lower skies these moist days in early May, where treetops have grown crown toppers made of leaves of many shades of green, smoothies every side shading us, cowlick foliage for a festive season, a fine display of nature's wondrous ways, all dressed up for another summer fashion show.
Okay. Well, look, just maybe once again, can we have a big round of applause for all of our winners?